Welcome, Bengt, again. It's a long time since he's been here, a few months now, and it's really great to have you with us and Vivian and Magdalena. And we are so hungry for what Jesus has for us. We want our lives to be turned upside down. We want you to turn us upside down with your teaching, like they did in the book of Acts. Let's welcome Bengt this morning.
Ah, it's good to be here this morning. It's wonderful to worship Jesus together. How many loves Jesus here? Almost everybody. That's a good sign. It's always good to be in London. I love this city, many different reasons. And I believe God loves this city a lot. You know, wherever there is a lot of people, there is a lot of love from God. And I'm glad to be here, and I've written a book, and it's called In His Majesty's Service. It's an easy reading book, a lot of testimonies, and about our first years in ministry. Our aim is to give Jesus the glory and to give something over to this coming generation. I waited a long time before I wrote it because I thought you need to be old to write a book. But I realized I was getting older, so I better write it. So I'm happy for it. I have a word for you this morning. And it's been in my heart for quite some time. You know when something is boiling? Have you ever had something boiling on the inside of you? Well, this word has been boiling and boiling and boiling. I've been sharing it in a few places in UK the last couple of months. And I'd like you to go with me first to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to read a wonderful verse there. And it's from verse... let's see where it is. Verse 15. Jesus is asking a question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Some Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. Thank you that we can worship you here in freedom this Sunday morning in London. And I thank you, Father, for the promise that you have given to us, that when we come together like this in the name of Jesus, then you have promised that you will be present here through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are God. I thank you that you are the resurrection power. I thank you that you are the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher, the guide that leads us into all truth. The truth about you, the truth about ourselves, and the truth about the time and the season we are living in right now. I ask you for the grace, Holy Spirit, to be able to share the word in a way so that it's edifying and strengthening the body here among my friends, and so that Jesus Christ will be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. I have to put this thing aside, I think. Put it here. It's been an exciting year, hasn't it? I don't think I've seen you this year, 2008. Last year was good and this year is better. And I guess next year will be even better. I had a word God gave to me in the beginning of the year. And he said to me, I think it was for me and it was for you as well, I guess, for the body of Christ. And he said, Ben, prepare, because you're stepping into a new season of harvest in Europe. Now, I kind of liked that word, because I really believe it's from God. And I believe a lot of things have started to happen already. I don't know whether you are aware of that or not. But I really think the Holy Spirit is about to do something extraordinary those coming years. You know, a season is not only a month. A season, according to the Bible, can be very long. And it could be 7 years, who knows. But anyway, I really believe that since 2,000 years ago, when the gospel for the first time was proclaimed in Israel, and until now, a lot of things have happened. Can we agree about that? We must say that the journey for the gospel has been pretty successful. It has broken through in nation after nation, continent after continent, and now it's on its way back, I believe. And I believe before the time is out or Jesus will come back, I really believe the gospel will really penetrate Europe once more, and it will penetrate the Middle East, and then one day it'll end up again in Jerusalem, and the circle is complete. And so I really believe we are standing in that situation. And of course, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was proclaiming the reality about the church that he was about to build, it was just a small beginning. It was only Jesus, and there was a few disciples of whom at least one were corrupt. So there was maybe 11 he could really trust. And but those words that he said in Matthew chapter 16 are very powerful words. And I just have this feeling that when Jesus said this, he had been waiting for quite some time to say it. It was like he was releasing a dream that he had in his heart. And the way he presented the church, he presented it not as a building, and you are aware of that. He presented it not as a denomination, not as an organization, but he presented it as an institution, as an overcoming institution, overcoming body that will be born here in this world. And the way he's talking about it, when he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that is pretty powerful words. The disciples at that time, they understood the expression of the gates of hell. They understood the reality of it. And I guess you and I today, we more or less understand the reality of the gates of hell, of the forces of hell. And I think all of us, if we've been saved, if we've been walking with the Lord for some time, we have realized that we are actually standing in a situation on a daily basis, in a kind of confrontation with some unseen powers. Now, we are not oppressed by those powers, because you and I, we are above and not under. But still, there is a reality. And of course, when Jesus said this about the church, he was looking forward. He was not only looking for the situation he was living in at that time. He knew that he was pointing out to something that will be born in this world. Now, When the church was born on the day of Pentecost, you and I, we know that we were born in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the first things that was significant in the first church, even on the first day, was when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he started to preach. From being a denier of Jesus a few weeks earlier, now he was standing in front of all those thousands of people in Jerusalem and he was proclaiming the gospel. He was proclaiming the good news, and it says that all of them listened to them. And you can understand and you can see by what happened that Peter, he was talking out of a totally new position of authority. Now, when Jesus started his ministry, I don't know if you remember that when you read about what happened in Luke chapter 4, for example, after Jesus had been baptized in the river of Jordan, after he's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he walks into the synagogue of Nazareth. And he opens his mouth for the first time, starting to proclaim, starting to preach the good news, starting to proclaim the kingdom of God. The first thing that people notice is that he is not talking like the rest. He's not talking like the rest of the religious leaders, but he is talking from out of a position of authority. He is captivating the hearts of the people. He is captivating the people with his words. Now, the word authority is something that we think about. We have different references to that word. Now, in some nations, you go and you say, you need authority. They react negatively because their reference to authority is something negative. But authority that Jesus is talking about, and authority that Jesus is talking about, the church supposing to have, is not a negative authority. It's an authority given by God. Now, I think that is quite great. Not just quite great, I think it's just fantastic. You see, we cannot take what is not given to us. So it will not work if it's not given to us. And that's why whenever a spirit-filled believer, When the day he get born again into the kingdom of God and the day he get baptized in the Holy Spirit, something new is happening in that person's life. And you and I, we are aware of it. It's not only that we suddenly start to speak in tongues, but actually the reality is that you and I, we step into a new level of authority. Now, maybe we are not aware of it. And maybe we don't even like it because we have wrong experiences from that word or from that whatever reality. But one thing that I really believe that the Holy Spirit in this time we are living in now, I think he is allowing us and he is encouraging us to enter in to the reality of his authority. Not just the doctrine of authority, but the step after is the reality of that authority. Now, I don't know about you, but the last year or two or three or four or five or something like that, I've seen changes in this world, and I guess you have as well. And of course, being a minister, being a preacher, pastor, we see things in the area where we are working. Now, I remember 5 years ago when we as a family moved into UK. The UK at that time didn't look the same as it does today. It's quite a big difference. When I came to UK the first time, maybe I don't know when it was even before I got saved, but maybe 10, 15 years ago when I was saved, UK looked different. Europe looks different today than it looked 10, 15 years ago. Things have changed. People have changed, and hopefully you and I, we have changed because we have been walking with Jesus and we have been changed. We see things from a different perspective. But there are certain things that will never change, and that is the plan and the purpose that God has for his church. Now, that plan and that purpose is, of course, to exercise authority in this world. Now, what does it mean to exercise authority in this world? Well, it means actually that you and I, we have been authorized by God Himself to go out in this world and possess the land until it comes. Now, that is not just fantasy, but that is a reality. Now, of course, you and I, we've been living more or less in that reality for quite some years. And whenever I read Matthew 28, I don't know about you, I get stirred up in my spirit, and I just know that what Jesus said when he had risen from the dead, and he proclaimed out, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, and therefore you go out and you preach the gospel. You bring them the word, you bring them the kingdom power, and I will be with you always, and those signs shall follow those that believe, we shall cast out devils." That was the first sign. And then we should pray in tongues. And then some other stuff. And then we lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's all in the package. I wanted to talk to you, not very long today, about this. But I want to be positive. Because I'm going to give you faith. But at the same time, I want to mention something that I really believe that it's so important that we are aware of in London, in Europe today. 27, 28 years ago when I started to preach the gospel as a young man, there was like a beginning of, at least in the circles where I ended up in, there was a beginning of teaching and revelation about the church, about the body of Christ. And suddenly you could see advertised in many places conferences how you can build a local church, or what is the church and what does that mean, and so on. So this was approximately the same time, the charismatic revival, a little after the charismatic revival, then a lot of people got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we wondered, what are we going to do with all these people? So there came like a revelation about the local church, and then gradually into the 80s, towards the end of the 80s, you can see in Europe, you could see a church planting movement that maybe never been there before for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it was very easy to talk about the church. If you walked into a Christian library, half of the book were talking about the local church. And there was a lot of churches being planted. We were involved in movement like this. We saw hundreds and hundreds of new churches being planted, yes, through the ministry we were working in. And I remember the first time where it really hit me that it's actually possible that a church can change a city. That the church can actually have an influence in a nation. That it's possible that from the position of a local church, when it's built the right way, under the authority of the power of Jesus Christ, we can address issues in a nation and we can actually win battles without weapons of flesh and blood. It's possible. At the same time, 1979, and I will say something some of you wouldn't like, but I say it anyway. In Iran, 1979, a man looked very much like Santa Claus. His name was Ayatollah Khomeini. He has been living in France in exile for 1 year because he was thrown out of the Shah of Iran. And during the same time, there was an underground indoctrination in Iran. Big nation. And today, that's one of the greatest revivals going on in the world in that nation. But that's another thing. But that happened. Something started in 1979 when Ayatollah Khomeini, whom United States of America, and if it was Margaret Thatcher, I don't know if she or it was somebody else here at that time, when he came, nobody believed he would be a threat. He was like a joke. But when he came and they received him in the Tehran airport, 1979, and he was greeted and saluted like a national hero, something new started to happen in this world. Something new. Something new was born in this world. The Islamic revolution were born at that time. Ever since that time, probably some of you don't remember this because some of you were not even born. I remember I was 18 years old when I saw Ayatollah Khomeini the first time on television. And then you followed what happening, and of course for a long, long time, especially after what they did to the American civilians in Tehran, and they took them for hundreds of days, and they kidnapped them and did different things, with kept them as hostage. Suddenly, people started to realize that, okay, there is something new coming here. And for some years, whenever you said Islam, everybody thought about Ayatollah Khomeini. And it was something negative. And year by year, things came by towards the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s, when the cries down in the Balkan started to happen. And the Serbian army started to massacre the Bosnians. And it was a terrible situation with the Balkan War. And I don't know if you followed it. I followed it very closely because I was working with mission projects in those countries at that time. I was actually present in Yugoslavia, in Sarajevo, the day the war broke out. I remember this very, 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 very well. Suddenly, from being in friendship, generation after generation after generation, suddenly there was a dividing line, and suddenly there was a war between Serbians, Croatians, and the Bosnians, who later were being called the Muslims. It was the first time in history that United Nations described a religion as an ethnical people group. It was the first time. And it was known through mass media. They were talking about the Muslims and the Croatians and the Serbs. Why is that important to understand? Well, because a lot of things have happened alongside with what God has been doing through His church. And I want to point out that God has prepared. Sometimes we are not even aware of it because we think, yeah, God prepared this church so that we should have a good time and just enjoy some nice freedom. No, but that was not the main option. The main option why God has built His church, why He's been working in His church, why He's been bringing teaching, why He's been bringing encouragement, why He's been bringing refreshment, was because He knew very soon, there's going to be a different situation in Europe. Today, there is a different situation in Europe. I said, today, there is. Today, the Archbishop in England, this week, you know what he said? I read an article. He said he was very concerned that our message, the gospel, where we preach the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the Muslim faith, for a true Muslim believer, that is blasphemy. You cannot say that the Father has a Son, and you cannot talk about the Holy Spirit. So he gave a suggestion, more or less, we should be a little bit more careful with this. Maybe we should even change our doctrine, and maybe we should say Allah like they say in the mosques here. Now, what is that? I don't believe. I'm not surprised. You know, I'm not walking around with a placard outside Westminster and saying, you know, to hell with all of those people, and the Archbishop is from hell. You know, I don't believe in stuff like this. I think it's ridiculous. I didn't expect him to say anything else. I was not surprised because it's just reflecting what is going on in the world. But for you and me as Christians, as the body of Christ, when we hear things like that, the question is, how do we react? Now, I'm not going to stand here with a very serious face today and look depressed. I'm going to say those things with a smile on my face because I'm extremely happy, because I know we are on the winning side. And I don't think it's a battle against flesh and blood. And I love Muslims to the bits. I preach the gospel to Muslims wherever I see them. But I don't like the spirit of Islam. Now, why are we talking like this? I want you to know this. That there's been a lot of activity going on in Europe for many decades. A lot of those things have taken place under covers, so to say. And I'm not going to give you a lot of boring facts. But today, for example, Islam is the largest religion in Europe. If you don't count the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church as one. But it's the first time a few weeks ago, when the Islamic faith overtook the Catholic Church. How are we supposed to react? And what are we supposed to do? Now, what did Jesus say about the church? He said, the church, I will build my church. And that church will have the power and the position to overcome the gates of hell. Now, there is another tendency, and that is typical Britain, I think. I know, and I'm British too, because I lived here for 5 years. But one thing that is very typical is that we don't like to, you know, we want to avoid confrontation to everything. We don't like to speak out. And the only people who are speaking out are like the little weirdos. And, you know, they walk with a placard or they have a megaphone and they shout and they curse and they do a lot of crazy things. And of course, none of us want to end up in that group of people. I mean, come on, we are decent and we are the people of God. We are kingdom people. We don't want to end up being, you know, looking strange. Do we? No, I don't like that. And some of that stuff I don't even believe in. But when we look at the situation today, when, for example, the Archbishop, sorry for picking on him, but he's not here, so I can pick on him. When the Archbishop is suggesting that we should introduce Sharia law in England. I mean, how stupid can you be? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk, you know. But I mean, he's making a fool of himself. How can he say so? And what is that? And how are you and I supposed to react? Are we supposed to say, oh yeah, that's the way it's going to be? Yeah, let's cut the hand of all thieves and the head of everybody who is not believing in Allah. That's the way we want it, is it? No. Now, when Jesus was saying this about the church, of course he saw those things coming. Of course he saw the situation we are in right now. I mean, it's not the first time the church is being opposed by, you know, foreign powers and stuff like this. But actually, it's the first time that the church, in that sense, in modern time, are being really, really challenged by a religion that really believes in what they are doing. Now, they don't doing things by chance. I remember when I was in Istanbul, must be towards the end of the 80s, 89, 88 or 89. I was there, I was younger then, and was not always so wise. So I was walking around a big mosque called the Blue Mosque. It's a beautiful mosque. It's not far away from a church, actually, a big church as well. And this Blue Mosque represents one of the most powerful mosques in the world, actually, and most known. And I remember we were walking around, a friend of me and mine, we were walking around, we were praying in the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, I just reacted on the inside. You do that if you pray in the Holy Spirit around the mosque. If you want to try that, you can do it. You have a big mosque in Regent's Park, not very far away from here. And when you do that, you feel that it's a foreign spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not at all the Spirit of God. It's something else. And from out of there, I reacted. So I felt like I wanted to speak to somebody. I wanted to preach to somebody. So I saw a group of people standing in front of the entry of the mosque. And I ran forward and I started to talk to them. Actually, I started to talk to one man specifically. I didn't know who it was. He had a long beard and he was dressed like, now I know he was an imam. And I started to talk to him and I asked him if he ever heard about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he looked at me and he said, yes, I have actually. And he was speaking better English than me. And now you're thinking, that's not a big miracle. And I realized that he was speaking actually British English. And he said, well, actually, I just came from London. He said, okay. I said, okay, what have you been doing there? Well, I've been involved in working with the largest mosque in London, he said. And that's the Regent Park Mosque. And then he started to tell me, you see, there is something going on in London right now. This is towards the end of the 80s, 20 years ago. And we are working there. We have a lot of people, a lot of activity is going on. And I know about this Jesus that you are talking about. So of course, being an evangelical preacher, I told him, well, if you know about Jesus, you know that Jesus is alive and Muhammad is dead. Now, I didn't know you shouldn't say like that outside a mosque. And he turned around and his eyes changed a bit. And he got really upset and he said to me, well, you claim that Muhammad is dead, but I tell you. And he started to preach to me. He was a good preacher. I was standing there. I felt ashamed. And there was people coming and they were starting to attack me. My friend, he walked off. So I was standing there alone. And after a while, I was thinking, what am I doing now? Because this is like a big confrontation. Then I was thinking about the book of Revelation. When it says that they overcame him, meaning the devil. Now, I'm not saying that he was the devil, but I felt like the devil was speaking through him. They overcame him through the words of the testimonies and through the blood of the Lamb. So I was standing there. I know some of you probably think I'm a bit foolish, and I still am, if you think so. I started to tell this imam, I want to tell you that I have seen miracles when I pray for them in the name of Jesus. This imam just turned around and he says to me, last week I prayed for a blind and he received his sight. I was quiet for a while. Because it was like 1 month since I prayed for a blind. I was standing there and I felt like, come on, what's going on? Is that really true? So I took the second thing, the blood of Jesus. So I said to this imam, I want you to know this. Through the blood of Jesus, there is forgiveness for sin. Through the blood of Jesus, we win victory over the evil one. Through the blood of Jesus, 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 through the blood of Jesus. And I realized when I said this, this man, he reacted even more, but he got quiet. And he took his prayer chain. And this is true. In front of me, I was standing like 1 meter away from him. He took his prayer chain and he started to call on Muhammad. I will not do it because it will destroy the anointing here. And I was standing and I looked at him. And I thought to myself, this is, I saw almost like a picture. I saw, this is quite cool, actually. I'm standing here. I come from Europe. He just came from there. He has invaded London with his things. Now I'm here. I'm invading Istanbul with the blood of Jesus, with the message of the blood. The question is, who's going to win? After 5-10 minutes or so, me been shouting the blood of Jesus, he's been calling on Muhammad. He hits his head and he runs off. And then there is another Muslim standing there. And he's just looking at me. And I never forget this. He's looking at me and he says, what happens now? I said to him, you want to know the reality of the blood? He said, yes, please. So I was standing there on this staircase, not staircase, on this stairs, up to the mosque. And I was telling him about the blood of Jesus. And on the place, the anointing of the Holy Spirit came. And this Muslim started to weep. And 25 minutes later, he kneeled on the stairs up to that mosque. And he got saved. Now, why I'm saying this is because, you see, I believe that we are entering into a situation where we're going to see a lot of interesting things happening. We already seen it in this nation. And there is choices that you and I can make. And I know we already made those choices. I know you have made those choices probably. You see, it's not going to be enough with just being a nice Christian, being a nice church, thinking that, yeah, it's going to be okay one day. Everything's going to be all right. We just hide ourselves in the church and that's it. That's not going to be enough because it's not biblical. Now, if that was what Jesus said, it would have been enough, but it's not enough. Jesus said to you and me that we are supposed to go out and possess the land. We are supposed to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ until he comes. Now there is only one gospel. I said there is only one gospel, and that is the gospel about the blood of Jesus. Now you see, there will be pressure on the church. There will be pressure in this nation on the believers to start to compromise with the source of the power. Because the enemy knows that if we take away that source, we will have nothing. Because our strategy, my friends, is not good enough. Our strategy compared with, and listen to what I say, our strategy compared with the Muslim mission strategy they have planned for Europe, our strategy is nothing compared with that. I'm sorry. Just the way it is. You know what they are doing in Mecca right now? Not saying this to make you depressed. I'm just telling you to inform you. They are having victorious reports of what is going on in London. They have newsletters going out all over the world, going out to different supporters of the Dawah, which is the Islamic Muslim initiative. They have much more resources and money in the physical, in the natural than any of the churches. They are very, very, very
goal-oriented.
They are. Now, unfortunately, the churches in this nation, I'm not talking about your church, but I'm talking about the churches. Instead of standing up with a smile on their face, and I say it with a smile on their face, because I think we can smile. I believe we can be happy. Whatever happened, because God has already won the victory. But there's still things you and I are supposed to do. Instead of standing up with a smile on the face and saying, come on, this is a Christian nation. Come on, this is a Christian nation. You know, if you say this is a Christian, I did that in one church. I was preaching in Brighton. I was invited to talk about this. And I mean, they are nice people. So I talked quite some time about it. And then after a while, I said to them, after all, we must say that England, Great Britain, is a Christian nation. And I said that, you know, I was pushing it a bit and smiling and laughing a little bit. And somebody in the building stood up and shouted, no! And this was a meeting for what I thought were Christians only. And it was only Christians there. So, being a polite preacher, I walked down to this man and I said it even more loud. I said, this is a Christian nation. And it's going to stay a Christian nation. It's not going to change. And he says, no, 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 no. And he looked with fear in his eyes. You know what? It's possible for the church. This is a praying church. This. You pray a lot. A love lesson. His wife and the leaders here. Because you pray. You pray. You know what is possible to pray for? We can pray. You know? We can pray that things are changing. You know, I learned one thing. If you pray that God's glory is going to come, that's good. But you must understand this, that there is a reason why the glory of God is not coming. It's not because God doesn't want to send his glory. Hello? But you see, in places like in London, for example, If you are to look into the spiritual realm right now, and we will not do that because God will not allow it yet, you and I, we would be pretty shocked, because there's a lot of activity going on right now against what you are praying about, against what you are praying about, against the glory of God, against the miracle signs and wonders, against the breakthroughs, against this and this and this. There's a lot of things going on against it. I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm saying that so that you understand that sometimes it's necessary in our warfare and in our prayer to aim and to focus on the right thing. You know, I believe it is possible in the spirit to tear down strongholds of Islam in this nation, in this city. I really believe it is, and I believe it is necessary we do that. And at the same time as we do that, we don't do it out on the streets. We don't walk around looking like Ghostbusters who is off running after demons. No, we do it when we are praying here in your power cave, whatever that's called, in your powerhouse here. You are praying against false principalities and powers, and then you set up a strategy, and I say a strategy, not as a reaction on what is already going on, but as an obedience to what the Holy Spirit already has revealed to you, that this church will be a tool. God's going to use it to win Muslims
and people from other nations into the kingdom of God. I dare to say this, one of the most important things that the church in UK are supposed to do right now, I think we should totally change your mind regarding the Muslims. We should think like this. Okay, there's a reason why they are coming here. Why they are so present in our society. There is a reason why. It's because we have not come to them. Now, it's possible to reverse this around. You know, we don't need to go to Iran to preach the gospel. We don't need to go. We need to do that, of course. But they are preaching good enough there themselves, actually, right now. We have the mission field here. And I want you to understand this. There is a tremendous mission field right here in London. And you see, we are not only talking about getting one or two into our churches, but I really believe that God's going to honor, and He will honor that when we put our focus and our aim on things like this. I said this some year ago. I was invited, I will finish with this. I was invited to Germany to preach in a prayer conference, a big prayer conference. And there was pastors and leaders from all over Germany, and a lot of other people were there. And there was one man from Berlin who was giving a talk about the present situation about Islam and Europe. And it was not very encouraging. He had, he had diagrams and stuff like that, and he was pointing out, and everything just went down. And I was sitting there, and I believe in the fact, but he didn't mention any time any possible solution. So I was sitting beside the organizer of that conference, and I pushed him in the side and I said, "You know, brother, I think somebody should say why the Muslims are coming into Germany." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Of course, we must see it the right way. The reason they come here is because we haven't gone to them. So they need to come here to get saved." And this his name is Bertolt. He turned around to me and said, "Hey, you're right." And then he stood up and he told this man, "Hey, come down, stop it. Now he's going to talk." And he pointed to me and he said, "Now you give his talk." And I stood up and I started to preach this. And the meeting after, it was quite funny. A man came in from the door, front door, fully dressed up as a Muslim. And he walked up through the aisle. It's a big sport arena, sport hall. And he's standing there in front of the platform. And this man is standing looking. He's just standing looking at the worship leader. And then he tells one usher, "I want to say something." And he walks up on the platform. He's a radical Muslim. He walks up there. And he asked to take the microphone. And then he says, in front of all his people, "God is here," he said. "I heard that you talk about this Jesus. I want to receive this Jesus now." And he said this in front of all of them. And for the people who was in the conference, they saw that actually that was a word. It's a reality in this. You see, what I'm trying to do now with you, I'm trying to paint up a picture. What is going on right now? That is a reality. The last 50 years the Muslim population in Europe have increased with 235%. The Christian population at the same time has increased with 47%. Now, why I'm saying that, they are growing in number. Now, we can frown and we can say that's terrible. Let's go to heaven now. It's terrible. We can be, you know, we can develop a racist attitude, chase all the Muslims back home from where they came from. Or we can see it like this. We can see the spirit behind it. We can deal with it when we are praying, when we are dealing with the things of the darkness. We can deal with it. And then we can meet those people knowing that we already done the work, knowing that we have already disarmed those powers and they are open for the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that they are actually longing for, they are hungering for, they are desperate to receive Jesus into their hearts. There is a desire, there is a cry from a generation today in this nation. The second generation, the third generation, the fourth generation, and they are seeking the spiritual reality in the mosque, and so many are disappointed because the only thing they meet is a bloodthirsty God with a little G. Don't even think a second that Allah would be a God of mercy. He is not.
Ooh.
Islam was introduced by a sword. And that sword is still the symbol in which they are fighting with Christianity. Was introduced by a cross. And that's still the symbol by which we win the victory. There is 132 quotes in the Quran. How God or Allah wants faithful Muslims to kill for their faith. A lot of quotes, how they are instructed and encouraged very strongly to kill and destroy non-Muslims, particularly Jews and Christians. Now that's a reality. Don't listen to those lies. Oh, but we maybe have the same God. No, we don't have the same God. You know what the Bible says. The Bible says we shall love our enemy. The Bible says we should turn our right cheek when they hate us on the left. The Bible says the one that takes sword gonna be destroyed by sword. It's not the same. I said it's not the same. It's a different spirit. Now, it's important that you and I have the right and the freedom to tell and talk about this without being recognized and accused of being involved in religious hatred. We are not. I said we are not. We love the Muslims. God loves the Muslims. God loves everyone. He loves you here today. I just had this. I had more to say, but I don't want to say anything more now. Because I just sense that the Holy Spirit is planting some seeds here. And you know, I'm not looking for an army. The word army is so weird out. If we say, we're going to have an army fighting against Islamic forces, that sounds terrible. Now I'm looking for believers who can and understand and who dare to really talk the truth with a smile on their face and then just give Jesus, give the full gospel. Who dare to come? I've been whenever things are being said that can write some articles even and just say, okay, I don't believe it, that's wrong. I'm looking for students who dare on their school, on the universities, on the colleges, who dare to say, come on, you cannot say that. This is the truth. We stand for Jesus. Of course we have a right to speak out. We believe in democracy and freedom of speech. And it's important to be able to fight for that and to talk about it. You know what? When I believe the Muslims, it's okay for them to have a mosque. But I also believe it's okay for the Christians in Saudi Arabia to have a church. I believe it's okay for the Muslims to talk their beliefs as long as they are not stirring up hatred. But I also believe it's okay for my friends in Algeria that are right now facing a trial, accused for blasphemy because they dare to say that Jesus is the only way to God. That is going on right now, this very hour in Algeria. And you know, I believe that we should have equal rights. I believe it's very important. I don't believe in theocracy. I believe in democracy. We will have theocracy in heaven, but it will not work here ever because we are not robots. But Jesus is here. He's here right now. I believe he's speaking to some of you. I sense the Holy Spirit is stirring up a fire in some of your hearts when it comes to mission, when it comes to inland mission, meaning London mission, the area where we live. It'd be fantastic. I love when I see people with the name Muhammad, Mustafa, Usmana, Ibrahim, when they come to Jesus. I love when I'm in the Muslim countries and the pastor looks at me and said, my name is Muhammad Islamim Mosque, or whatever, I don't know. I love when pastors have those names. That's not a problem. We're going to have a lot of people because you know, today they are giving birth to so many children. Just imagine in the church book that we will have so many Muhammad and Mustafa Ibrahimov. That's the Swedish football player. But anyway, we're going to have those books full of them. We love those people. Just imagine when they get the Holy Spirit. Whoa, I tell you. Oh, they are much more radical than most of us here in England. Just imagine when you get those young guys into the churches instead of those dead mosques. When we get them here full of, with the Holy Spirit, full with the Word of God. I tell you. They're going to be a blessing for the body of Christ. They're going to be a blessing for Europe. And this is what I believe. I said, this is what I believe. I see it in front of me. I said, I see it in front of me. Let's stand up on our feet. Just lift your hands. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you are a wonderful God. Thank you that you are the Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have won a tremendous victory. And Jesus, we know that it's only in you we have victory. We don't believe in our own strength or ability to do things smart. But we believe in the power of the blood. We believe in the power of the cross. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. And right now, I just say, we are saved from the bottom of our heart. We just thank you, God, for all those people, all the foreigners in this nation that still don't know Jesus. We thank you for all the Muslims that we know, most of them, they are searching for the truth. We thank you, Father, for all of them. And Father, right now, we are say to you, we open our hearts for you. We open our hearts for your purposes. We open our hearts for your plans. We say to you, God, God, we ask you, yes, as it said in the book of Psalms, we ask for an inheritance. We ask that you give us the Muslims as an inheritance. We pray that you give this church a harvest among the Muslims here in London. We pray, we ask for you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. And right now, where we stand, we exercise our God-given authority, where you have said to us that we can bind and we can loose. And right now, as the body of Christ here in Westminster this morning, we bind up. We bind up the works of the enemy. We bind up the plans of the enemy to Islamize London. We bind up that evil spirit, that evil Islamic spirit. We bind it up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we bind you up. We cast you down from your high thrones. We cast you down from your high thrones. In the name of Jesus. And right now where we stand, we loose. We proclaim freedom and liberty to all those people that are bound up by the lies of Islam, by the lies of that evil spirit, that Antichrist spirit. We bind, we loose all those people. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that right now where we pray, when the Muslims are praying their daily prayers, I pray, I thank you right now, Father, that you are so great, you are so powerful, that right now, even in this very moment, you can invade those houses, you can invade those families, you can reveal right now that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that He is the only way to God. You can reveal to them, and you do that right now. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, right now. And Father, I thank you right now that you are speaking to us here. You are reminding us, Holy Spirit, come with fire. Fire, 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 Holy Spirit, fire and authority, authority of the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ.